Here we go. It's Hour 3, GBAC Nation 105.3 The Fan. We are live on the tennis courts in Oxnard, California, standing by for George Pickens. We'll talk with the Cowboys co-wide receiver number one here before too long. Our coverage of training camp brought to you by the on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. I love being here. Love seeing all the Cowboys media members. Everywhere you look, it's just exuding Cowboys football. There's Nate Newton. Here's Nick Harris, Star Telegram, Joseph Hoyt. They're all here covering camp, heading home after a very eventful practice. We're waiting for word, though, on flipping Terrence Steele. And
Tyler Guyton.
Yeah.
Terrence Steele was practicing today, so that was good. That was good work.
I mean, we saw him running. He went out and pulled, got out in space there. I mean, Malik Hooker had a really good play to come up, and that was a nice thump.
That was a nice thump.
That was a remember-me thump.
Hooker had a nice PBU as well in the passing game. I thought Hooker was a nice little standout.
But last three practices has averaged one offensive lineman down. Luckily, Steele is back. But we shall see with Tyler Guyton, keeping our fingers crossed and waiting for that Brian brought us text message to light up to give us the all clear or spell out whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
CY's coming up in 20 minutes, man. Cannot wait as we're 72 hours from the trade deadline. Here's the Chief with some sports.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. We got a little football's finest for you. I did want to just ask you guys, this is football adjacent because it involves J.J. Watt. Did you see he did the 999 challenge?
Oh, he did.
He crushed it.
Nine beers by himself?
Nine dogs, nine innings.
Yeah, okay.
This is the solo.
This is the solo.
Nine dogs, nine beers, nine innings. He definitely completed it before nine innings. How many innings do you believe it took him to complete that? And I don't think he was like Joey Chestnut racing through it, you know, like really trying to go as fast as he could. But he had a nice pace going. How many innings did it take J.J. Watt to complete the 999?
I'm going to guess four.
Over under at four, Broadus.
I'm going to go over, and I'm going to say seven.
Okay, where are we at, Wolchuk?
Over the four, under the seven.
Ding, ding, ding. 5.5 innings is all
sweet
it took.
Sweet spot
for one J.J. He had, the first inning, it was three beers, three dogs. He was like, easy money. Yeah. And then he just kind of, he slow rolled it. I guarantee you he could do that in probably an inning and a half.
See, that's what I was thinking. Like, really, how ferocious are you getting after it? But, yeah, I think after the first couple, you know that you're going to complete this challenge. You kind of kick your feet up, put it in cruise control.
Yeah.
Maybe average one per for the next couple innings,
that's
and you're done.
That's pretty much how he approached it. But he documented the whole thing. And then he went and crushed Culver's afterwards. He had his post-game meal.
Let's do
which
this.
Was like a burger and some cheese curds and stuff.
Come on, man. What a beast.
What a monster.
That's
really
Brian's favorite spot.
Hey, and shout out to Brian, because we're thinking about the beers and chilling and stuff. It was just a beautiful thing last night to watch Broadus right there in the rudder room. Mm-hmm. First time on the trip, right? Because you've been working so much.
Yeah.
The first time he could come up from air, okay, he goes and sits down and cracks open a nice Stella Artois.
I did.
And soaks in some rudder room action. That was nice last night, boys. And I'll tell you what, I always forget how cold it gets on the gosh dang beach.
Pretty
bro.
Nippy.
I was bundled up.
Man. Yeah, that Crown Media vest you had working was sharp.
I had on a vest, and I had on our fleece tops we got for Christmas from Odyssey.
The Odyssey gift.
I had zipped up on zipped up is what I had. Yeah, I was not gonna be cold out there for sure.
You get that wind blowing through it, cut right through you.
That what do they call it? The marine layer starts rolling in.
Yeah, the marine layer.
That is old. The seals were that was amazing. To hear that, you know, like,
they're loud.
And they're kind of fighting each other, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like they were fighting for what Chief, you went over there. What were they fighting about?
Yeah, it just felt like a territorial thing. Like, one guy was trying to just sort of lay out and chill, and the other one was kind of getting over there in his personal space.
No, I hate when that happens.
Bobby right now.
kind of like Bobby is right. Hey, Bobby, how awesome was your Jake Ferguson interview today?
He was fantastic. He tried to punch Choppy. It was great.
Oh wow. Awesome. All right. Good. So we took our word. We passed that along to him.
Favorite player for a reason.
Maybe put your hands on Chop if you can.
Well, and now the first thing I thought of after Ferguson got his new deal, we could possibly get him as our weekly players guest this year.
Okay, what do we think about Ferguson as the weekly players guest this year? It's a really good question by Wolchuk.
I'm up for it. He seems fun.
He is. He's good personality. Yeah.
The F in Ferguson stands for bleeping fun.
Yeah, I could see that working out well. You know?
He doesn't
appear to have any sort of an eating problem that he could get sensitive about.
No,
so that's
you can
a bonus.
Ask him how many. I wonder if Chop asked him about the brisket sandwich.
Oh, I guarantee you he did.
Well, that's probably why he punched him.
That's the one question Choppy has prepped for the week for all the guests. The rest will come to him in the moment.
That is freaking hilarious, dude. I love that question is going to give entertainment somehow, some way.
It's going to stand the test of time.
I've been regretting it ever since it came off the tip
of
my tongue.
George Pickens on the way now.
Okay, he's approaching. All right. He is now, we have entered the George Pickens descent. That is very, very exciting.
Let's get the headset, make it look
I do just want to throw out there, plus...
Flight attendant is prepared for Atlantic.
Plus 6,000. Cam Scataboo to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, you're
and I just, I'm just watching him in practice right now, and he's giving me O'Roy vibes. Okay, this guy runs. He's a growler.
Who's he play
all
for?
Right? Plays for the Giants of New York, unfortunately.
Okay, all right. All right, United States of America.
He's catching balls. We know about the soft hands,
he's
right?
So he could play down the field.
Who's
no question.
Catching balls from?
Dart. He's catching darts. That's what he's doing. But he's got the lateral agility, bro.
He's
got
it working. Jersey on the other
he's
day. Did you
thick.
See that?
Yeah, yeah. He was.
What's up with
he's
that?
Thick. Yeah.
Are you going full Christian Wilkins?
No, I'm not going to go full. Wow, dude, he's got the toe tapper there. I just think Cam Scataboo is going to be one of those guys that we look
third
back
round
on.
Pick, right?
Did they take him in the third round?
I think they did.
Good for them, dude.
If I had a sports book account open right now, I saw, what is that, 60-1? That's worth $10.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm sprinkling around.
100%.
Looking to get some action
going.
Who's
he play for again?
New York Giants.
Oh, the Giants. Okay.
Football Giants.
Yeah, I mean.
He's starting?
Yeah. I mean, this is going to have to be a hell of a.
Is that going to give him a chance?
He's not.
That's the type of guy you can't keep off the field.
I feel like you can win O'Roy.
There he is, George. George.
Hey, there he is, George Pickens.
George.
Good afternoon.
George. Hell yes. Wow, he's got the Bobby Belta headphones on that head, bro.
Let me flip this headset on right now, and here he is, his first year with the Cowboys. Cowboys got the steal of the trade market this year, sending a third for him. And he's on the Wild Fork Foods hot seat, wildforkfoods.com, elite game day grilling favorites.
Yes,
and
sir.
A good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing good, man. Can't complain. Cali's weather is great.
Oh.
Yes.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
How hot were training camps in Pittsburgh?
Oh, they get a little hot because it's in earlier in the year, but you definitely know it gets really cold.
Right.
Yeah.
What's worse, playing in the frigid, freezing, what the hell, cold temperatures, or that super hot?
Frigid, definitely. Because we running routes, your feet, your toes are froze, the ground's froze. See what I mean? So definitely probably cold is worse.
What do you think of the guys that go out there, like if it's a cold game, and like a lot of the offensive linemen will go shirtless?
I mean,
those people are insane.
Yeah, it's a mentality thing. They're trying to break it. They're trying to break it, but honestly, they're cold.
You know they're freezing.
Yeah, like how cold was that game last year? Was that against Cleveland where Winston's doing snow angels?
Yeah, games like that. It's games like that. That's later in the year where you can't even – we're just running the ball now because we can't even – honestly, Q can't see the snowfall. Like, so you're just – it messes up the gameplay, honestly.
Okay, so you don't like it because everybody's talking about everybody should have a dome stadium.
Yeah.
Are you in agreement with that?
I agree with that. I feel like everybody should have a dome stadium with inside grass.
Oh, I like what you're
doing. Some grow lights in there. So how do you make these catches?
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I want to know.
Were you like born like Spider-Man style to go get them, or is this something you got to work on constantly? Like how?
Honestly, my whole life I've been always kind of gifted, thanks to God. But like. I kind of do work on it, too, just the minutia of receiver. And then I kind of, in the offseason, I work on little man's game. So stuff that Turk probably be able to do, that's what I'm, because I'm so big.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when I get out here, I'm moving way more fluent. But definitely with the catching, I kind of been like that the whole
time.
See,
yeah, I was going to ask you because I was a scout in the NFL for 13 years, and I've never seen anybody track the ball better than you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that goes back to your days at Georgia, and I'm watching, we all watch tape of you, and I'm like going, there's nobody that tracks the ball like this guy, and I've seen the great ones. I've been, but how do you pick that up? Because I can say I'm watching you. I'm like, when he's seeing this ball right off the hand.
Yeah.
So when does it like? I mean, you never lose track of it.
No.
Everybody else is losing track, but you.
Because the key to it is looking up.
Up.
A lot of people go here, look back, and try to see where the cue is.
Yeah.
The best thing is to look up. And then based off the trajectory, I play punt return, so if the ball is turning over like this,
there it is.
It's going to go farther. And then if it's a cue gets hit and it's wobbly, it's going to die out. You see what I mean? So okay. you can really make – that's really why I make a lot of catches, because you can really make every catch if you know the ball trajectory.
How much do you feel
– The science, dude. Yeah, this is smart. Incredible.
This is next level.
Yeah. How much do you feel the defender when you're doing this? I mean, do you just have that sense of where he is on your body to be able to track and then to be able to contort the way you do?
Yeah, while the DB is on you, you kind of want to have your body as – I say dead as possible. Like you see what I mean? So he never knows what you can actually stop. You can run a stop route. He'll never know what route's coming. But as far as the ball trajectory, he also won't know when you're catching it. Because he's like, are you see what I mean? And with me knowing the trajectory, I know where it's going to be at all the time.
It's amazing the ability you have. Seriously, I've never seen anybody like you catching a football that way.
Okay, and then
he's been scouting for a million years. He's he's old as hell.
I am old as hell. I admit it. Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. I've seen them all, the Wrights and all those guys. Yeah. This guy goes and gets it. Yeah. He goes and gets it.
I appreciate that, man.
And then after you get it, right, so you're dealing with the guy who's closest with your arm or with your speed, and then it looks like you're looking around for who else is out there.
Yeah,
So are you scanning the whole deal?
Especially pre-snap, they do a lot of, you know, defense like to play two, then switch to three, three, then switch to two. So after you diagnose that and they throw you the ball, then, I'm feeling him and I look at him to see if he's got his eyes up. A lot of good DBs have their eyes up. But most DBs, even some of the great ones, just don't. They like to play with the receiver the whole time try to get a PBU. When the whole time I'm just watching the ball. So.
But everybody else could do that. But when the ball's 12 feet away, they're not going to be able to jump up and get that high and have that stickiness.
Yeah.
When did that stickiness become obvious? Were you like 2 years old catching stuff out of the crib?
Side yard football.
Tell us some family stories here.
I started playing contact football when I was four.
See? Jeez.
Wow, bro.
Yeah, so like I've almost been doing that since I was like, not two, but like six or seven.
Yeah. How big are your hands, dude? Gosh. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. Then my dad played basketball, so.
There we go.
See, the conglomerate of stuff.
The thing that I think that we're excited as Cowboy fans and as followers is we can see them getting you the ball on the move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everybody talks about deep threat. I'm like,
hey, we saw it today. That was nice.
I'm just saying, get the ball to this guy on the move. Yeah. I mean, if you throw it in front of him, he is going to make some people miss.
Yeah.
He's going to make some people miss. And that's what I'm excited about you being in this offense.
Me too.
Shoddy and those guys getting you and letting you run some of those routes where they throw it in front of you and then boom, get that thing and go up the field.
Me too. A lot of more digs.
There you go.
That's what I feel like. And not just here, a lot of other teams, they don't, you know what I mean? They don't want to implement it because you got a running back, you got this. But the Cowboys run a lot of digs. They run a lot of, and it's all off Dak. It's what he likes.
Sure.
So definitely on the move, let alone the deep ball.
This guy's going to kill him making plays on the move.
The relationship with UNCD, I mean, it's infectious to just watch the way that you guys play off each other. So, I mean, was it instant chemistry between you guys, and how can you really benefit to grow each other's games?
Yeah, it kind of was instant chemistry when I met him. Just the type of person he is, he's kind of just like me personally. But we're all about our business. You know what I mean? When we get on the field, let alone that connection is going to make us, you know, better. So I was already coming in with that mindset. I always, you know, wanted to meet him. I wanted to meet all the other guys because that's going to make us super different. And I've been watching the Cowboys for years. I always wanted to see them back in a Super Bowl. Like that's why they're so legendary.
Yeah.
For that reason. You see what I mean? So I always wanted to see them back in Super Bowl.
I love it, man. George Pickens with us here on the Fan. What nickname wise, I'm seeing a lot of GP3.
Yeah, we're gonna roll with that one.
That's like that, right?
Yeah. GP3, yeah.
All right, GP3 on the Fan for the first time
for sure
in history, which is just absolutely fantastic. You were talking about the ball trajectory in Cowboys history. We know, boys, who had the best balls.
Troy
had the best balls. Yeah. How do you rate Dax?
I rate Dax pretty. His is up there, definitely. Troy, I see why you guys say Troy, because it was night and day.
Yeah.
But that
comes from the playmaker Michael Irvin himself.
Yeah, Mike told us. Then you had Mike. So, but Dax is definitely up there. Yeah, he's definitely up there.
When Dak, in one of Dak's media sessions, he talked about how you impressed him by knowing his college stuff.
Yeah.
You just mentioned Troy's stuff.
Yeah.
Where do you learn about the history of football?
I've been watching football for a while. I think since, like I said, I've been playing contact since I was four. So, I've always known guys, even in his era, who were, really, really good.
Yeah, the 20s?
Yeah. 1800s football, man.
Yeah. Don Hudson rolling around out there with no face mask catching the ball.
Nah, definitely I watched a lot of football. My favorite receiver of all time is Randy.
Yeah.
So I've definitely
passed on him on a draft, yeah.
I definitely watched a lot of football, and I watch a lot of guys just because, like, I always been playing football games. I watched Reggie Bush. I was a huge fan of Reggie Bush. Right. Lindell White. A lot of stuff, bro. It's a lot of ball. It's a lot of guys. Yeah. Emmitt. I watched a lot of Emmitt Smith with my granddad at home. Michael. Dez. Dez is a phenom.
Yep.
Has he hit you up yet since you got to town?
Yeah, I met him. He's a cool dude. He was just on the field, though, he was just like the definition of the word phenom.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? He could do everything. So, like, I've definitely been watching for years. Tony Romo.
Well,
you
know, I know one
clutch
thing.
Factor.
I love Dez, and I was standing right there in that when he went up and when Shields, I was on the sidelines right there, and I was when that ball went up, and I said, and he went and got it. But I'd love to have seen you go and get that. Yeah. I don't think there'd been a question about a catch. Because Sam Shields would have been like all crumpled under him. And George would have been like, boom. Way. And then it would have been
GP3 might have scored.
But Dez tried to extend it. I mean, he tried to. I could see him catching it and just getting it to the line.
I would have tried not to fall.
Yeah, see, Dez, he was like, Sam was underneath him. And he kind of got lost his balance when he went high pointed.
Yeah.
And then he just tried to, like, and Sam kind of undercut him, and he lost his balance that way. But I was standing right there when he made that catch.
That was a crazy catch.
And that moment, fourth and two, holy shit.
I was watching that game live, actually.
Yeah.
Like in 2010 or 11, something like that.
I just love how you know ball.
Yeah.
You freaking know ball, bro. Yeah.
And he caught it, and I was like, I thought it was a. Before the rules now,
yeah.
I definitely thought, like, back then, it's about, that's definitely a catch.
Yeah. The referee called it a catch.
Crazy.
Yeah. Referee was standing right there. He went over control. And marked it. He marked it, and then McCarthy challenged it. Only challenge McCarthy won all year.
Yeah.
Only one he won all year. Yeah. Crazy.
If the 88 was open, would you have wanted to wear it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I fit the frame. Yeah.
You do.
So definitely.
Yeah.
Are you a jersey swap guy? After the game? Yeah.
Not really too much, but yeah, I definitely, like, people I know, of course, mm-hmm. like, I'll definitely switch with them, but, like, not too much.
You rooming with anybody out here?
Oh, no, I got my own room.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah. There you go.
Going back to Georgia, I was just watching SEC Media Days. Yeah. They were talking about how terrible these SEC road locker rooms are.
Yeah.
And Brian's told us just how disgusting football locker rooms are in
general.
I'm
an LSU guy. We ain't helping you. We ain't helping you.
What are we talking about here? Like, how bad are they?
At Sanford Stadium, they ain't helping us either.
Kirby even said Georgia sucks.
Yeah, it's bad. Ours is super bad. Because when you come to us, we don't want you to feel at home at all. And then the worst... Honestly, the worst I've ever seen. I don't know if you guys been there, but Tennessee's
bad. He's right.
Tennessee's is like people can't even. I think we had to change. Like we had so many players changing at once.
Yeah,
like we got group special teams go out, then punts goes out. They had to change in the hallway.
Yeah,
almost in front of everybody in the stadium.
Yeah, they're the ones with the toilet that didn't even have the stall around it, bro. It's just wide open.
No privacy.
It was all brown. Ooh, crazy, bro.
Hey, is anybody doing rookie performances? Are we doing the singing and that kind of stuff? Has anybody killed it?
Nah, no one's done it yet. I think it's what's today? I think it's a couple of days. When we come back, actually from the break. Yeah, I think that's when it starts.
Did you do that in Pittsburgh? Did you have to do one?
Yeah. I think I did with a group, and we were just, I think we were mocking, like, all the coaches. We did an OC and stuff like that. And then here first, I think Coach said the guys are going to sing first, so that's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
And then he said they could pick on him as well. That's kind of like the thing. So,
cool.
I'm sure everybody's ripping him for that visor.
Yeah. The visor and I don't think you've seen the flip-flops yet.
No.
It's a flip-flop.
He's hiding the flip-flops from us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you had one of these shoddy cocktails, though? Is he serving these up?
Yeah.
I haven't. Got his own drink.
He can't be preaching physicality, though, in flip-flops.
Not at all.
Does this seem like a place you would want to make a permanent home, George?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, most definitely, because I watched the team for so long. And the camaraderie, like, I kind of understand the camaraderie more than I did in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, even what you guys do. Like, the Cowboys, is like I said, they're known for the Super Bowl.
Right.
See what I mean? Like, that's what they're known for. If they weren't known for that, then no one would care about the Cowboys. Right. But they're known for that. Then the camaraderie of the people give that same energy because they also want to see it again. So, I think I definitely understand did more here, the people more here than I did up there. Because I'm from the South. That's, you know, that's a whole nother deal. Like,
well, right on, man. I mean, we love to have you, and hopefully you feel understood as well. Now, let me just ask you from a business perspective. It probably makes sense to go have a huge season, right?
Yeah.
And then talk contract?
Yeah, most definitely. Try to go. That's definitely, like, what I want to focus on first, because money's everywhere. Money's all over the world.
Sure.
So I definitely want to try to, like I said, help them win, like, get a Super Bowl. And I think that's kind of like, if the Cowboys are such a big brand, that kind of seeps in. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you see what I mean?
Yeah,
so, like,
everybody eats.
Yeah, so if you just stick the main thing, and try to really bring it, keep it on the gridiron, like how it used to be back in the day, yeah, we'll definitely do something special.
Yeah, how many brisket sandos deep are you since getting to town?
I had brisket literally yesterday.
Let's go. That's fantastic.
Let's go.
And then in Texas, I had it. I was eating it like every other day. It's super good.
Okay.
You find some good brisket out here?
Nah.
the tri-tip's the thing here, right?
Yes,
yeah, tri-tip.
Sir.
Yeah. That's what I had, yeah.
Yeah.
If you had to have one food the rest of your life, you couldn't eat anything else, what food are you going for?
Probably crawfish etouffee, if you know what that is. Yeah.
Ding! I need to hook you up at a bowl. I'll bring somebody. I got a Louisiana background for you.
Yeah.
I'll take care of your etouffee.
And what's playing in the George Pickens headphones, especially on a game day?
Oh, bro. A whole bunch of stuff. Chief Keef. I even go Calvin Harris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Calvin Harris. Like, before we actually get to the, like, before we actually get ready to go out and people just sit in the locker room for a minute. Yeah, I like Calvin Harris.
Okay.
Just to, he makes you feel good. Like,
yeah.
Ready to go tear some people up.
Yeah.
By the way, we voted CeeDee Lamb best teeth on the team. I think we have a
George.
It's a 1A, 1B situation. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah, 1A, 1B and everything.
1A, 1B.
That may be more of a blessing than the hands, dude. Those some pearly whites right there.
I appreciate you.
Lined up, looking good. There he is, George Pickens.
Yeah, George.
Thank you, sir.
Bravo, dude.
Terrific stuff.
Appreciate you.
Welcome to the Cowboys. We're back with more football here on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. You just missed one heck of a George Pickens interview. He was on with us. He's excited about what's coming up this season. And you can go back and listen with the Odyssey app or Twitch or on YouTube, Dallas Fan Cam. But that was great. You know, it's always cool when you get a chance to talk with a superstar player. But it's like 100 times better when it actually hits, you know, and he's enjoying it and you're enjoying it, and you know, the vibes are good and the conversation's strong. So a salute to George for making that happen for us. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's time now, though, for the Chris Young Show here, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. And good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you all?
Well, we're doing outstanding. Congratulations on getting this thing turned around. It's been a lot of fun to watch. I just want to get right to it, though. You know, what's the updated outlook for you guys here at the trade deadline?
Well, you know, we'll continue to monitor the market, as we always do. And it's our job as a front office to try to give this team the best chance to win. But I think most importantly, we feel really good about the group we have. You know, we got Sam Haggerty back. We got Jock back. We'll be getting Jake Berger back. We'll get Chris Martin back. And at some point, you know, hopefully late August or September, the hope is to get Tyler Mahle back. That timeline's a little less certain. But those are all great additions to our team. And so I think I've said this before and I'll say it again. The best improvements that we can make to our team are to get the best out of our own guys and to keep them healthy. So we're, you know, very happy with the way the homestand went. We're happy with where the team is, and you know, but we are going to continue to look for ways to improve it. But I have extreme confidence in the group we have.
I love that. That's got to be a great position to negotiate from, because you don't feel like you have to do something. See, why am I reading that right?
Well, the trade deadline's a tricky time, and I'll just sort of explain it to everybody. In a way that was explained to me my rookie year when I was with the Rangers, and Buck Showalter came in our clubhouse, and there was a lot of chatter in the clubhouse about who we were going to get or who we were looking for. And Buck made a very good point. He said, for us to add anybody to this team means somebody in here has to go. And so I'm very sensitive to the fact that I love the guys we have. I believe in the group we have, and I never want to see anybody go. That said, I also have a responsibility to try to make the team as good as possible. And so we're going to look at it, but I am sensitive to the group we have, and I do believe in the group we have. And I think it speaks to the talented roster that we put together at the beginning of the season. But, you know, is that going to get us to the finish line? We have to make that decision.
When you look at now the playoff structure, I mean, how has this third wild card now changed things and maybe actually made the deadline more challenging, because you might have more teams now that still feel, hey, yeah, we got a shot at this thing?
Yeah, I think in a sense that it has had that impact, that more teams are alive and more teams feel like they have a chance, and so they're hanging in there or waiting till closer to the deadline to make decisions. So, you know, I can't speak to how it was maybe 10 years ago. I just know in the last couple of years, things have happened kind of closer to the deadline and right up to the deadline. So, you know, the third wild card, I think, has been great for the game. I think we've all seen, you know, we got in as a wild card in 2023, and it allowed us to go on and win the World Series. So the more teams in, you know, in a lot of ways, the better, and it's the team that gets hot at the right time that has the chance. So just getting in the dance is half the battle.
You got to still be thinking division at this point with all the games you've trimmed in the last month, though, right?
Yes, and that's the unique thing about baseball, is that, you know, we've had this stretch where we've played really good baseball, and it just coincides with the stretch where Houston has kind of cooled off a little bit, and we've made up a lot of ground. There's nothing to say that we couldn't have had a hot stretch and Houston continue to play, you know, play well, or even .500 baseball, and we would not have made up as many games. So, given the way the homestand went and the timing, it's just one of those unique things to baseball that we've made up a lot of ground in a short period of time. And but we have to continue playing good baseball. This is just my hope, is this is kind of the beginning of what we are as a team, and we're going to continue to improve and get better, and that we're going to peak at the right time here. But this is exactly what we expected coming into the season. And while it's taken us a little while to get there, I'm very, very excited about what we've seen, and we're going to just keep marching forward one game at a time.
Hey, Chris, you know, it's a really important road trip for you with the games in Anaheim and then the games at the four games against Seattle. And there's been some kind of, you know, kind of a house of horrors a little bit at Seattle. Any different approach, or is it, hey, do we need to adjust this from previous games that you played there this season? Anything different are you thinking about going into that series?
Well, I don't want to look too far ahead, because we're facing an Anaheim team that's really solid, and that we split with over four games a few weeks ago in Anaheim, and we're going back there for three games, and so we've got our work cut out for us with that. And then when we get on to Seattle, you know, we're going to have our work cut out. It's a tough place to play. They've got a great pitching staff. Their offense is doing well. They made a big trade for first baseman that's improved their lineup. So we'll have our work cut out. But the reality is, there are no easy games on any right. given day in the big leagues. You're facing a professional team, and if you don't play your best baseball, you can lose. And so for us, it's about really just playing our style of play, continuing to do the things that we've done well over the homestand into the road trip. And if we do that, I am confident that we'll come away with a lot more wins than losses.
Five series victories in a row, two sweeps. I wanted that grand slam for Jock Peterson so bad. Wasn't meant to be. What'd you think of his return, his quality at bats?
Jock, I mean, yeah, there was, you know, obviously a little bit of rust there, and it's hard to miss that much time and to have a shortened rehab and to jump right back in and you know, to be mid-season form. It's going to take him a little bit of time, but we know that. We understand that. And the beauty of our team right now is that we've got a number of other players going well. And I thought one of the best parts of yesterday's game was Wyatt Langford coming through with the big double with the bases loaded after Jock struck out there and picked his teammate up. And I think that was something that we were missing a little bit at the beginning of the season. It magnified some of the struggles of certain guys, and seeing Wyatt pick him up, I think, kind of just eased the pain of maybe you know, Jock coming back into the lineup and not being in midseason form. And so he's going to get there. There's no doubt in my mind that Jock will get there, but it takes time. And if we could have sent him on as many rehab games as we wanted, he wasn't going to face the quality of pitching that he'll see in the big leagues. So there is just an adjustment period he's got to go through here at the big leagues. But that adjustment is much easier if the guys around him are hitting.
it's been Young and Langford recently, but you guys have seen so many guys have these breakthroughs or this reverse of trend over the last 6 weeks or so. Is there anything that's common in the breakouts, or is there a playbook that you guys go with, or is it different for every player?
Well, there are little subtle differences player to player, but I think by and large as a team, it's just this collective mentality and trust that the teammate in front of them or behind them is going to get the job done if they don't. So it takes a little bit of the pressure off. And two, just the collective commitment to winning the game and doing what it takes to win, whether that's moving a runner over, whether it's stealing a base, putting a ball in play, a sacrifice fly. And when you think of it from a team standpoint, you take some of the pressure off yourself having to be the hero in the moment, that you can just go up there and simply do your job. And your job may be just passing the baton or not chasing or drawing a walk, whatever it is. But that collective mentality to me is the most critical aspect of our team approach. And I think it takes a lot of the pressure off the guys when they know, you know, the guy behind me is going really well. And if I don't get the job done, that's okay. He'll get it done for me.
It was awesome to see John Gray back on the mound. How impressive is what he's done in being able to fill just a variety of roles, the selflessness, and of course the hair, in which he has not cut his hair since winning the World Series there, CY?
The hair is very impressive. I'll start with that. It's very impressive. And you know, my hope is that it maybe helps him hide the ball a little bit on his delivery. That hitters get distracted there. But you know, but John is, he's got versatility that really is so valuable to our organization, to our pitching staff, and his ability to perform in multiple roles, whether, you know, we would have confidence in him pitching leverage at the end of a game, middle relief and length like we saw this weekend, or, of course, starting, which he's been extremely successful over the course of his career. But the versatility really protects our pitching staff in a number of ways. I thought in part we won Saturday's game because of the efforts of John and what he was able to do. Sean Armstrong came in after and pitched great as well. But, you know, John's versatility saved the rest of the pen, and it was huge for us. So we won that game and you know, the series on Saturday night because of John's effort. And it was really, really neat to see, and it's great having him back.
The way Saturday's game came together and was successful, and the 8-1 win on Sunday was like, you know, maybe get you more confidence, but that win on Saturday just gave me the feeling that, hey, you know, this group is believing in itself once again and figuring out ways to just get the job done, whatever it takes. It was very exciting.
I agree with you. I thought it was a character win. I thought it was a win where we showed a lot of fight and just found a way and came from behind late in the game against a very good reliever and tied the game and then won it in extra innings. And especially after seeing Marcus get hit in the face, stay in the game and really just sort of embody and personify the traits that we want in our players. I mean, Marcus, that was incredible to wear one in the face like he did and then to finally get the opportunity late in the game and get the game-winning hit. It was just really, really great satisfaction, you know, for the team and I think for him personally. And a win that certainly we hope to build off. And I just thought it was a great character win as a team. And like I said, I think those wins are important to bring guys together and create that winning spirit.
Okay, my final question for you. How's the outlook for Sporzy now?
Josh is doing well. He had a rehab game yesterday. The velocity continues to improve. He's kind of settling in, getting his command, getting some bad swings on his breaking ball. So we're seeing some really positive trends. You know, we want to see the stuff continue to increase. It's hard as you come off shoulder surgery. It takes a little bit of time to get your velocity back and the quality of your stuff. But he's trending the right direction, and I probably should have listed him earlier as an internal addition that we will get back hopefully at some point. But I don't know the exact timeline, but he is making progress.
I love it. Chris Young, thank you so much for your time. Have a great week. Can't wait to see what you do, and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Thanks so much, guys. Good talking to you.
Salute. There he goes, Chris Young here in the G-Bag Nation, president of baseball operations, brought to you by PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch. They're talking a high-leverage arm, right-handed bat. Thought the follow-up answer that he gave me on the trade deadline was very interesting. It's just not the time you want to be advertising to your guys what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
there's a lot of stress.
Yeah, these guys are trying to find their way to win games and stay on the 25, you know, and then now somebody might have to be, you know, put off. But man, he's
He's the right guy because he's able to put feelings aside. I believe he is. He could say it, but as a former player, he knows that like this might be his one chance to, you know, even though he's got a World Series under his belt in 23, this might be his team is finally living up to where he believed. And now if he can make one more move, maybe that's the difference in putting him over the top that he needs.
I do believe he's shrewd and he's tough.
Yeah.
He also cares and he understands the player perspective.
I think he's the bottom line. It's about, hey, don't make it personal. Make it about trying to find ways to win games.
All right. So we went back to back there with you. George Pickens, then Chris Young. If you missed anything, you can go back and listen with the Odyssey app or the Dallas Fan Cam on YouTube, of course. Well, Chuck, what are we doing next?
All right. Let's go a little around the training camps. Who made this year's 99 club? How do you say this player's name? And chewing on bark. That's next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Our training camp coverage continues. Here's Woolchuck with some news around the league.
All right. Let's hit you with some of the staples off the top. Congratulations to Rashawn Slater. He's now the NFL's highest paid offensive tackle. That was done yesterday. $114 million extension, $92 million guaranteed. And he just happens to be part of Micah Parsons' draft class. So shout out to the Chargers getting that done. But
hey, Micah has to want the money.
He's got to want it.
Freaking understand.
Just want the money, Micah.
Just want
it
the
takes
millions.
Two.
Did I see a thing where Slater just recently divorced?
You did.
Yeah. And the ex-wife did not appreciate that post very much.
Wow.
Clapped back at Dove Kleiman. Good old Dove. Is that even real?
Dove re-clapped back, though.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't see the re-clap. I only saw the initial clap.
She was like, I can't believe you're making this about me. And he's like, well, actually, you just made it about you, honey.
Oh, Dove! From the top rope.
A Dove dunk.
Man, but we did get some good news. Hey, Tyler Smith, Deron Bland, apparently those deals could be getting done here sooner rather than later. So fingers crossed. Fingers crossed the Cowboys
fingers
keep
crossed.
Care of
they're making it their crossed. Mission to sign everyone but Micah.
Hey.
Parsons gonna get tagged.
I could see it.
There it is.
I could see it. Let this thing play out and who knows.
It makes
maybe
too
Donovan
much sense.
Ends up being a stud.
I mean, 24 is way more than Mike has ever made. It's way less than the Cowboys would have to pay the tag. I just, especially if you get all these other deals done, there's just you know, only so many they can do. So I'm fascinated by this. I think the great thing is the Cowboys don't let star players go. We're not going to lose Micah. Okay? He's going to be around. They have awesome pass rushers, which Micah is part of it. It should be a fun season.
49ers news, they did activate Ricky Pearsall. So he is now off the pup list. They did have to sign
Eli. I thought he was going to be a lot better. He seems hurt. I know he was dealing with
the shooting.
But, man, he seems like he's a little banged up.
Yeah, it might be injury-prone guy. Yeah. And they have no timetable for Brandon Ayuk's return either. So there could be trouble there in San Francisco. They did have to sign Eli Apple at corner. And that guy's just not good.
Wow.
That's tough sledding.
That's still in the league?
You're down bad.
Well, he is now, thanks to San Francisco.
I mean, he's getting torched 6 years ago.
My gosh. And then, guys, how do you say that running back out of Texas that's now with
Bijan
Robinson.
I mean,
you knew that.
It's always been Bijan to me.
You say Bijan?
Bijan. Yeah.
Bijan.
You said Bijan?
Bijan.
Okay, Bijan. How do you say your name?
Properly give us the pronunciation of your name.
All right. How you pronounce my name is Bijan. For everybody that's out there, I know a lot of people say Bijan, but it's Bijan. It's Bijan, yeah.
Bijan, no Bijan. It's just Bijan Mustardson.
Right, right.
Bijan.
This is the most shocking thing since A-chan.
Oh yes, dude.
You know the one that's always stood with me is it's not Tyrod, it's Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah,
Tyrod
Taylor.
Well, okay, so for our guy, Blue, is it Jadon Blue or Jaden Blue?
Maybe we need to ask him if we get him.
I always say Jadon Blue.
I think I say both.
I think I say both just so I can be right at least some percentage of the time.
It's I'm hopeful that we end up getting
We'll uncover this. That's why we're boots on the ground at training
maybe
camp.
Maybe we'll do like an after
to figure out
interview.
The
we'll go over there with the live mics, we'll see the brisket Sando consumption, and then we'll
that
end
was
up
a great question, by the way, to Pickens.
Jaden and Jadon.
The text and the Twitch and the tubers were all clamoring.
Did they all insist?
Yeah. Ask about the brisket Sando.
I looked at Dawson and he's like Right on.
Beautiful execution. I think probably for the foreseeable future, all interviews will require a brisket sandwich question.
Yeah.
That'll probably be the case all the way through Radio Row.
Let's make it happen.
I'm going to try and hook him up some crawfish etouffee, though.
I think you should.
I'm going to make some, and I'm going to get a hold of Scotch Agolnik and take it over there to
get
him.
Get it delivered. Yes. Yeah. Now that you mentioned Radio Row, we probably need to drop, since they're playing the Eagles in week one, we need to drop the Dick Fangio on somebody and see if they're going to.
Here we go.
Should have done that to GP. He's a ball knower. He would have probably corrected me.
And very confident. 100%.
You and the ball question again by Troy Aikman.
Troy had the best balls.
The best balls. Mean,
we're talking balls.
There's times I was just like sitting there thinking, oh, let it go. Just friggin' let it go.
Well, and for those that wanted some Christian Wilkins updates, we'll get to that, I'm sure, later on.
Speaking
Eric,
of ball
Eric will
questions.
Have the balls handled.
Yeah, we can hodgepodge that one.
We got 3 hours down, two to go. Jared Sandler joins you to talk about your red-hot Rangers, hottest team in baseball. Our training camp coverage brought to you by the on-time experts, Rhino Shield and Yardbird, Southern Table and Bar. And we're stepping aside back with Sands here in the Nation.